Welcome to the English with Kirsty podcast from www.englishwithkirsty.com. Here I'll be sharing with you tips, information and other learning resources so that you can improve your business English.
This podcast episode, and I realized that I introduced it as episode 167 when really it's episode 168. So rather than redo the whole thing, just a quick just to let you know that this is episode 168. So that means that the show notes page for this episode will be englishwithkirsty.com/podcast/episode168. Hello and welcome to episode 167 of the English with Kirsty podcast. And today we're talking about New Year, no more missed opportunities, because everyone has good intentions for the New Year, don't they? It's just what you do. The January the 1st comes around and everyone starts thinking about what they're going to do better or differently. But I think sometimes it's also things that we're not going to do. And one thing that I don't want to do is to waste opportunities. And I want to talk about that in terms of how we can waste opportunities as a language learner or as somebody who uses languages in their job, because I think it's probably relevant to a number of listeners. And even if this particular thing isn't relevant to you, maybe look at how you can apply the ideas that I'm talking about today to your situation, because everybody's different. Many of us talk about New Year's resolutions at the beginning of the year, and within a couple of days those resolutions have been broken. I used to do this. I don't do it so much now, partly because I'm more realistic in my goals, and partly because I've learned a few things about setting goals and making plans and how to make plans in a way that means that you don't waste your time. Because who wants to waste their time? Nobody. And most of us don't have time to waste. So the things that I've decided to do differently this year, both in my business and my personal life, they're on the spreadsheet, because if you write them down, you become accountable. Some people like to share them. I don't really feel the need to do that. So I haven't written a blog post about them or anything like that, but I do have them on my spreadsheet, and I have what I intend to do and how I can measure that, like a tracker on the spreadsheet. So if I plan to do something, how will I know if I've achieved it, or how can I monitor the steps that I'm taking to make sure I'm going to get there? And I think that's really important as well, because most people wait until it's quite late on December the 31st and decide what they're going to do. And maybe they've had a couple of glasses of wine as well. And they don't always set the most realistic goals. But if you're serious about changing things, then yeah, have a goal and have a way to track whether or not you met it. But it's also a good time to, even if you're not going to do something specific, like I'm going to stop doing this or I'm going to start doing this, sometimes it's just a time to think about the habits that we have and the way that you want to change them to maybe be better at something. It doesn't have to be a complete 180 degrees turnaround. I'm going to stop doing X or I'm going to start doing Y. Sometimes it's just I'm going to be better at a thing that I'm already doing but haven't really bothered with much because life keeps getting in the way. So sometimes it's just, yeah, I'm already doing this thing but I want to do better. And I think a lot of the time with language learning it can be a bit like that. So people are already trying hard to improve their language skills, but just to spend a bit more time doing it, or to reach the next level, or to put yourself in a situation that is maybe a bit more difficult. So it doesn't have to be, you know, something completely new, like I'm going to learn to do something I've never done before. It could just be I'm going to be better and I'm going to work a bit harder. And sometimes I think a way to really decide what you want that to be is to think, okay, by the end of 2020, if I'm looking back, what do I want to have achieved and what do I need to do to get there? Because that's another reason why people fall down with these ideas, is they think, yeah, that'd be great if I could do this, and then they don't think, okay, well, what are the small steps that you need to take to reach that big goal? So I mentioned today that I want to talk about wasted opportunities. So what is a wasted opportunity? It can be all kinds of things. It can be not contributing to a discussion at work because you're not sure that what you want to say sounds good or sounds right, or that people will understand it. It's just staying silent when you could have said something. It could be not speaking up in a meeting when you have a good idea because everybody else seems so confident and they know what they're talking about and you don't feel that confidence when using English to communicate your ideas. Or maybe you don't feel that confidence at all, whether it's your own language or another language. But it's seeing an opportunity where you could contribute something and not doing it for lots of different reasons. So that too is a missed opportunity. For those who are learning English, not applying for a job because you know that either in the job interview or in the job itself, you'll need to use more English and you don't feel so good about that or you don't feel so confident about that. It could just be more of a day-to-day thing where you don't put yourselves in positions where people will notice you more, so speaking up or being more outspoken or having more ideas, just being noticed more. It's easier to kind of hide and fade into the background and not make yourself noticed. And if there are any things like this, well, what can you do about it? Sometimes it just comes down to doing the thing that scares you. So if it's the job, just apply for the job. And once you've sent off the application, you've set the ball rolling and, you know, you're in that pool of candidates now. And if you get called for an interview, then you'll need to prepare for the interview and prepare to speak English or prepare to demonstrate that you can do that. If it's speaking up in meetings, sometimes it is just saying the thing that you want to say. Start small. Don't start with a whole new idea. Just start contributing to a discussion. But go into the meeting thinking, okay, I will say something today. Doesn't matter. You know, obviously it should be something that adds value. But, you know, trying to tell yourself, I will say something in this meeting if that's not something you usually do. I know for myself, I've looked at trying to address missed opportunities in the past. I've always been a bit, I like to hide behind my laptop. So last year I decided it would be a good idea for me to do some face-to-face networking as well. Because for a lot of my work, it's not really relevant or important because a lot of the people I work with are not in the UK, but some of the services I offer are relevant to people locally. And I decided that face-to-face networking isn't my favorite thing, but I was going to go and try and do it anyway. So I signed up for the meeting. That's the first step done. But I didn't want to go. and so I made things easier. Someone kindly offered me a lift. I started talking to people that were in my area that were going, and somebody offered me a lift, which was really nice of her. So I started talking to her a bit, and that made it easier because I wouldn't be walking in on my own. But I still didn't want to go. And I was sitting in my house about half an hour before I was supposed to be going thinking, I really don't want to go. I could just cancel. I could just say something came up. It'd be really easy. And okay, I'd lose my deposit. But, you know, it'd be really easy to not go. But I went. And I said, no, you've committed to this. There isn't a really good reason why you shouldn't go. So just go. And if you really hate it, you never have to go again. But at least go and try it. Just do this thing that you don't want to do. And it was good. I mean, I do find these things a bit more, I don't know, big groups of people wear me out in a way that one-to-one conversations don't. So I'm never going to be someone that loves this kind of thing. But it is useful. You can make a lot of good connections. You can grow. It's good. So I enjoyed the evening. But I had to really kind of push myself to do it because naturally it's not something I would have done. And then it happened again. It wasn't quite as bad, but the next one I signed up for, it got to nearly time to go, and I thought it wasn't as bad as the first time, but I still wasn't thinking, great, we're doing face-to-face networking tonight. It's like, oh, I think I want to go, but I couldn't get the enthusiasm for it. But when I actually got there, it wasn't as hard as I thought it would be, and it wasn't as stressful. And that sometimes it just takes pushing yourself to do something that you don't really want to do. But if you commit to it, then say, OK, this is an evening of your life. If you really don't like it, you don't have to go back. But if you think it could be useful, then try it. And maybe you'll surprise yourself if you just push yourself out of the comfort zone. So I'm now part of two networking groups. I have at least one new customer from it, although that's not entirely why I signed up. It was more about the networking with people. And learning and sharing experience and, you know, that kind of thing that you don't get when you are working on your own without being in a company. That was my original plan. But of course, if I get customers from it as well, that's a nice thing. But the point is, it's not something I really enjoy doing or felt comfortable doing, but I thought it would be a good idea and I did it. And sometimes you can do all kinds of things to build up to it, but the real thing you have to do is to do the thing. And it's similar with my story when it comes to speaking German in front of other people. I knew I could do it. I had to do it. I had to speak in front of the mayor when I went to do the school exchange. Nobody wanted to do it, and I felt a bit sorry for our teacher because I quite liked her. I thought she was a good teacher and she really wanted someone to do it, and nobody wanted to, so I said, okay, I'll do it. So I knew that I could speak in public in front of people in German because I did it when I was 17. So it's hard. The act of public speaking, I don't find that so hard. I don't find public speaking, and that particular time was easier because I had a script that had been agreed and worked out in the beginning. It's more the spontaneous public speaking, which I don't enjoy, but that's because it's specifically in German. In English, I don't mind that at all. So it's definitely, for me, a language-based thing. But I knew this, and I knew that if I wanted to use German somehow at work, then I would need to get over this. So I started small by just talking to my friends. Because if they were my friends, they shouldn't laugh at me, they shouldn't be mean to me, they were my friends. So I started talking to friends. Then I worked in a voluntary role, so I wasn't paid for it, but it was really good experience for me. I was working full-time at the same time. It wasn't instead of a job, but it was something I did in a voluntary capacity. I hid behind my laptop for about a year. I was involved in all kinds of areas of the project, but I never called anybody. I never used Skype. I hid behind my laptop and wrote loads of emails, and I got a lot done. I developed some good working relationships with quite a lot of the people in the team because I invested time in that, and I knew I was better at emailing than speaking to people. But in the end, I had to speak to people, and I went to a face-to-face meeting, and it was terrifying, but I did it. I knew that I would find it terrifying. I knew that I didn't really want to go, but I also knew that if they were really going to know who I was as a member of their team, then I needed to do something face to face and get to know the people that I'd been working with for the last year. So I did it, and it was hard. And then I went to another one, and that was also hard, but not quite as hard. But it doesn't get from, you know, it doesn't just become perfect the next time. It's degrees of difficulty to the point where you don't think about it as much, but again, that's, you know, you just have to get the thing done. I also did a German course. Nobody's ever asked to see the qualification I got at that German course. It was after my school education. I did something with a German organization that does accredited courses, but it made me feel more confident to get the result that I wanted from the course. And that gave me a bit more confidence. And now I use German every day at work. I speak to people. I still sometimes feel a bit nervous if I have to present something or explain something to new people. Or if I take part in a networking group in German where it's all in German, I still feel nervous. It's not that those nerves have completely gone away, but it's part of my everyday life now, and I get on with it. It's not to the point where I just can't do it. So I know I can do it, and I also speak German in my lessons, because certainly for beginners or intermediate learners, you know, we sometimes have conversations in German. I help with vocabulary, I sometimes explain things, so, you know, it's part of my everyday life now, but it is something in the past that I struggled with, but I faced my fear, and now I can do it. But this wasn't always the case. I know that there are a lot of missed opportunities in relation to this in the past, and that's why I went about changing it, because I didn't want to keep missing opportunities. But I did sit in meetings and had good ideas that would have solved the problem we were discussing, and I didn't contribute them because I was hoping someone else would do it. And invariably they didn't, because they were my ideas. How would anybody else know what they were? Before working for myself, I wanted to work for a multilingual company. And some of the reasons I didn't do that was because a lot of the roles were in sales and I didn't want to work in sales. But the other part was just I didn't think I could do it. I never wanted to put myself forward in a situation where I might fail. And that's a sure way to fail if you don't try. You're not going to succeed. Okay, you may not fail, but you won't succeed either. Whereas if you try, then you've got a chance. And like now, I never publish, I never write on the blog or do a podcast episode in German. I have got some German articles on my blog, but they have generally been translated or at least proofread by other people. It's not just me writing something and sticking it out there on the internet. And part of that is because I want to look professional. I don't want to make mistakes. But part of that is because I'd just rather not, because there might be mistakes. I never do interviews in German. Somebody asked me to come on their podcast and do a German interview, and it never happened, but I think I agreed to it, but I didn't want to. I really didn't want to, and I was hoping she wouldn't ask me again, so she didn't. But you know, these things where I could do more with the language skills that I have, but sometimes I look for the easy way out. And that's something I need to look at this year and challenge myself to maybe go a bit further with using those language skills. So how about you? Were there any missed opportunities for you last year? And if there were, what could you do to change them into opportunities for you to grow, or to meet new people, or to further your career, or to do something different? What could you do differently this year to make sure that these things don't happen if they happened last year? So, as I said earlier on, sometimes you just have to do the thing. There isn't a way around it. You can't, you know, you can prepare yourself all you want to, but eventually you're going to have to do the thing, like apply for the job, or decide to speak in a meeting, or decide you're going to call someone rather than sending them an email. But sometimes you need a bit more help. So I do offer services. This isn't just a sales pitch, but I do offer services that could help people with these problems. So, you know, that would be an option. I have conversation classes, one-to-one. I have language and communication training to help people with grammar, with vocabulary. I have specific grammar courses. I have specific writing courses. The conversation training is about improving people's vocabulary, but it's also about helping people to feel confident, because if you can feel confident speaking with your English teacher, it will also help you when you're speaking to colleagues or customers or other people. So I offer that kind of training where we look specifically at the things that you're finding difficult and then how to address those. I have interview training for people that are applying for jobs in English, where the whole interview is in English, or at least part of it will be, and we do job interview practice. So that's another option if that's something that you'd be interested in. So if you think that I will be able to help you, then that's definitely a step you could take. You can contact me, you can email me podcast@englishwithkirsty.com, or you can contact me through the show notes page, which is englishwithkirsty.com/podcast/episode167. So maybe you can do that. Maybe it's not something you need someone else's help with. Maybe you just need to set a bit more time aside for English. Maybe you need to find some ways of making it part of your everyday life, like reading more books or consuming more English media or finding some people to speak English with. There can be lots of things. It's not just paid training that will help, although that might help some people that are listening to this. There are lots of things you can do, but if you've decided there's something you want to change, then the next step is to think, okay, how do I do that? Not just, because then it doesn't just become a wish for the future. It's a real thing that is achievable because you've worked out how you're going to do it. So whatever it is, think about what you want to achieve by the end of the year and what you need to do to achieve them, because then they don't just end up as those things that we say we're going to do and never end up doing, because that's a waste of time, isn't it? If you're going to commit to something, see it through, and if you're not going to commit to it, then don't say you will, because you'll only get disappointed then, and nobody likes being disappointed. So if you're not learning a language, because I know that a number of people listen to this podcast because they're more interested in the communication side of things from the point of view of someone who isn't learning English. But if you're not, then is there something else you want to do that you want to change or be better at, or that you think you could do, but you just need to push yourself a bit harder or to challenge yourself? So whatever it is, whether it's language related or some other area of your life, what could you do and how could you achieve it? What could you do that would make you feel that you've really moved a step further towards this goal that you want to reach? Because it's not all about the end goal. It's not all about achieving what you plan to do. Sometimes it's about those steps on the way that you're one step closer, that it's a bit easier than it was before, it's a bit better than it was before. And it's good to celebrate those as well, because it's the journey and not just getting there, especially if you're learning something. I'm doing some courses outside of my work. Some of it is related to my work, some of it isn't, and sometimes it's just, yeah, I understood something that I didn't understand before. I can do something now that I couldn't do before. And yeah, I have much bigger goals than that, ultimately what I want to achieve when I finish, but sometimes it's just celebrating the small stuff, like this didn't work yesterday and now it does, and I'm really happy about that. So this is a bit late to wish everyone a happy new year now, because we are halfway into January, but I do wish all of my listeners a happy new year. And I hope that something here has helped you to think about what it is that you want to do differently this year. And if there were missed opportunities last year, how you can change things so that you avoid the same thing happening in 2020. Have a good week and have fun learning English.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the English with Kirsty podcast. If you have any questions or comments, my email address is kirsty@englishwithkirsty.com, or you can go to www.englishwithkirsty.com/podcast, where you'll find information about the individual episodes.